If you say something with confidence, then you can't be wrong.
I don't even know.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Indeed it is. Time to head out on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Our good buddy Jake Trotter, ESPN, covers the Browns. Jake, good to talk to you, buddy. Look, before we get into everything that took place, and I think we can call it, kind of all agree that everything done this offseason was done to put Baker Mayfield in the best position to succeed. How, as you've had a little space now and you were covering that team on a daily basis, how did it go so wrong, so quick, and how is it so bad? And that's really that's the best word to use it. How was it so bad last year? Toxic almost.
We're going to go through this traumatic experience for everybody again. I mean, it's not just one thing, Bo. It was a bunch of different things coming together. I think it starts with the coaching staff, which starts with Freddie Kitchens, who was inexperienced, both as a play caller and as a head coach. And they never had an offensive identity last year for a number of different reasons, but I think you have to put a lot of the blame at his feet for that. Personnel-wise, I think they overrated what they had at along the offensive line. Obviously, at left and right tackle, they probably had the worst tackle combination in the NFL. And so even though they had this great skill talent contingent, they were never able to fully exploit it because Baker was running for his life. He was sacked more often per passing attempt than any other quarterback in the AFC. And even when he wasn't getting sacked, his footwork completely fell apart. Really going all the way back to training camp, when I think he knew more than anybody else, you know, what they had at offensive tackle. And Myles Garrett is in his face like every play in team. So you start with that. Odell and Jarvis Landry, you know, weren't able to practice throughout the year because of the injuries. Defensively, Myles Garrett, you know, swings the helmet, which torpedoed their entire defense for the backstretch when they were still in the thick of things. So, you know, penalties, turnovers, really it was a conflation of a lot of unfortunate things, and that's why you got one of the most disappointing seasons in the NFL and a team that I think all of us thought had a chance to knock on the door of the playoff, go 6-10.
Jake, as I look through the roster, I mean, I go – to every single position group, and I'm like, yep, I like that. I can get with it. I like it. Okay, that'll do. And then I get the linebacker, and I think, are they just going pure young talent, and we just haven't seen it yet? Or is it something that they don't value in new kind of analytical thing? I know that the Mike, you know, in my air quotes, the Mike backer of old is fading away anyway because there's so many packages that get put on the field, but I mean, why don't they love linebackers, man? It's breaking my heart when I see it. It just looks like they didn't address it, and they're not paying attention to it. Or am I wrong, and they are paying attention to it? It's just already on the roster, and it's young.
Yeah, you know, this might offend you, but I don't think it's a position that they value as much as they do others on this team. And you just saw it with the way that they proceeded this offseason. Linebacker was a position they sort of addressed. You know, they brought in B.J. Goodson, okay, you know, kind of a one-year bridge guy, yeah, you know, veteran. They drafted Jacob Phillips in the third round. You know, certainly when you draft somebody in the third round, you feel like that guy can become a starter for you at some point. It was a position they addressed in the draft last year, bringing in Mack Wilson and Sione Takitaki, and they feel like they've got two guys that can develop into starters at some point. But I think when they looked at the team and looked at what they wanted to prioritize, linebacker was just not high up there. It was offensive tackle. It was tight end. It was a depth on the defensive line. It was the safety position across the board. And so, you know, you can't address everything at once. You kind of have to pick and choose what you want to get after in the offseason, and linebacker just wasn't something that they prioritized. Now, part of it is because they feel good about their young guys. A part of it is they're going to be playing a lot of five defensive back alignments this year under Joe Woods, maybe sometimes some dime packages as well. And then I think part of it is this team goes more toward a analytical philosophy. Linebackers are just not as important as other positions.
Yeah.
You know, corner is important. Pass rusher is important. Linebacker is not. And I think that, you know, listen, they have a plan, and I think we can debate whether the plan was good or not, or whether it's good or not, but they've executed it, in my opinion, and linebacker really didn't factor into, I think, that overall plan very much.
Jake Trotter, our guest, covers the Browns for ESPN on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Yeah, I think they executed the plan that they laid out perfectly. I think everything they wanted to get accomplished, they did. It was all to put Baker in the best position to succeed. How you know him? You went all the way back to Oklahoma with him, man. How has he handled this? How has he handled – this is the first time as a player, I think, that he's faced – him being part of the problem, his play being part of the problem. He's always been the guy who's overachieved. He's always been the guy who's been the pleasant surprise. He was that as a rookie. I mean, even as he was a number one pick, there were people who doubted it, and then he came in and played lights out, broke Peyton Manning's record for touchdown passes. And then last year it all went wrong, and it went wrong not only for him but his friends. I mean, if you think about that offensive room, the quarterback room, Freddie Kitchens was hired because of his, in part because of his relationship to Baker. How has Baker handled all this offseason?
Well, I don't know how Baker's going to play this fall, but I think there are a lot of signs this offseason that should make you optimistic that he's going to have a bounce-back year. You haven't seen him in the headlines very much, with the exception of, you know, him saying he's going to support, you know, his black teammates by kneeling. You know, other than that, we just haven't really heard from Baker, and that's the complete opposite of last year when we did nothing but hear from him. You know, he's on the cover of every magazine, it seemed like, including – GQ. And so I think that he realizes that it's time for him to stop talking so much, especially until he plays better. He hasn't been in California. He's been in Austin, Texas, where he's from. He lived with his parents for a good chunk of the pandemic, while his house in Austin that he just built was undergoing a renovation. He's been working out with his brother a lot. Because you're limited in, you know, who you can work out with and where you can work out because of social distancing guidelines. So it's been a very low-key offseason from Baker. And to me, I think that, you know, I think Baker kind of feels like he needs to get back to, you know, the way he was earlier on in college, where he it seems crazy to say now, but he really let his play do a lot of his talking. Now, after his play, he would talk too on the field. But I don't think Baker did like one interview his freshman season at Texas Tech, and it really wasn't until his senior year at Oklahoma where you really started to hear a lot of the bluster. I think just given everything that they've done to improve the talent around him and the fit around him, shoring up the offensive line, I think Baker feels like he has a real opportunity. And if you talk to different coaches on the team. He's in every meeting. He's in the wide receiver meetings. He's in the running back meetings. You know, I don't know if he's still doing it, but at one point early on, he was hosting an offensive players-only Zoom call every Thursday just to kind of recreate the locker room environment. So he's really taking a leadership role. He's putting the work in this offseason. And the question is whether it's going to translate to the field.
Jake, Bo and I were talking. If you look at the running back room, wide receivers, tight end, can you name another offensive weapons in the National Football League, another roster that's up there with Cleveland? We talk about Jarvis and Odell, right? You go through the tight end position, the running backs, just the talent.
Yeah, take quarterback out of it. Just running backs,
just
tight ends,
take quarterback out, running backs, tight ends, wideouts. Is there another team's skill players that you would take over the Browns?
So I don't have a list of all the skill talent contingents in the NFL in front of me, but not prepared for the interview. I think you'd be hard pressed to find one better. There's just no weakness. I mean, they've got two elite running backs. They've got two elite wide receivers. They've got one really good tight end and another guy that has the chance to be a pretty good number two in David Njoku. So, I mean, the depth at wide receiver, okay. You know, that might be a question mark. Although, how many times are they going to be playing three and four wide receivers in a two tight end offense? But if Odell and Jarvis are healthy and playing up to their potential, good luck finding a better one in the league. There might be some deeper ones, but in terms of frontline talent, I think they're right there with anybody.
Yeah, and that just comes back to Baker. Just comes back to what you get out of Baker in year three. That's the big one. Jake, appreciate you, buddy, as always.
Okay, guys, we'll see you later.